What's up, Illini? I'm Peyton Wessner, and welcome back to ISN Now, the official podcast of Illini Sports Night. Episode 6 is here. I would make some number reference. Instead, I'm just going to say it. I must be doing something right to get to this point. Hey, I have to put myself over. No one else will. Speaking of putting over, I'm very excited for today's show because we are going to be talking about professional wrestling. Wait, don't click pause. Still there? Good. In a world absent of sports, there is only professional wrestling to watch in terms of live programming. Give me the next 20 minutes or so, and let's see if I can alter your perception, or at the very least, sway your preconceived notion of professional wrestling. It'll be a challenge, but I'm game. Game like Triple H. Let's welcome in my guest who knows professional wrestling better than I. He's a University of Illinois graduate, finishing his degree in 2007. And since then, he's ventured down to the friendly confines of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and laced up his wrestling boots. That's right, wrestling under the name Venetius at Coastal Championship Wrestling. This man is a Brazilian destroyer and unstoppable inside the squared circle. And that man is Nélio Cuomo Costa. Nélio, I really appreciate your time today. How's it going?
Man, that was an excellent introduction. I love it, and it's going great, man. It's nice and warm. Unfortunately, we're not allowed to really leave our homes too far, but still having some fun down here.
There's a lot of things to do in Florida, but not at this time, as you're alluding to. There's so many different ways, different avenues to start this conversation. I definitely want to get into what you think makes wrestling special and how your promotion, CCW, is dealing with COVID-19. But I'm going to go off the board and ask, what is the most important thing your Chicago Bears need to do in the NFL draft this weekend?
Man, it's great because, of course, they shored up a little bit of their bigger issues, on the offensive side. I do think that they need to get a power rush going. They need a runner. But honestly, you know, they went and they got Nick Foles. So in terms of, like, where they are in the quarterback position, shore up some of those spots that you're going to need. You're gonna need a little bit of help on the offensive line, and you need a little tools, whether it's another power rusher or a receiver. They did get Jimmy Graham, but they cut the rest of their tight end, so they probably need to go get a tight end. I wish we were just, as a Chicago Bears fan, we were just better positioned. 2 years ago we were so great, and now it looks like we're kind of in the midst of a potential rebuilding. But we will see. You know, the defense is good, but the window is closing. So go and get some tools for the quarterback, I would say.
It's funny we're talking about the draft because yesterday we posted an article on our Illini Sports Night website about who should be the pick in an all-Fighting Illini hypothetical Legends draft. We're talking all sports, all players available. You were on
all
campus.
All sports, okay.
Yeah, you were on campus for the men's basketball NCAA national championship game appearance in 2005. The football team was heading in the right direction before making the Rose Bowl in 2008, the year after you graduated. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's the top 3 to 5 on your big board, and who would go number one? I would imagine a couple Illinois alums and Bear greats come to mind for you.
No, 100%. Number one would be Dick Butkus. I mean, he's probably the best middle linebacker of all time. Just such an amazing player. Changed the way that the game was played. And such a obviously a great name, but a great character as well. So number one would have to be, the greatest Illini football player of all time would be Butkus. Number two, man, like you said, I'm so partial to that basketball team. I would have to put like maybe Darren Williams. Number two, Simeon Rice comes in there for sure, probably right away. And then of course Nick the Quick Man, Nick Anderson, Illini legend. And then just me personally, there's a lot of other potential picks, like Rashard Mendenhall, Juice Williams, of course, mm-hmm. Kirk Kittner, like all great Illini. But me personally, D. Brown from Proviso East, obviously, he ranks up there as an Illini legend. But I personally knew him, played him in football.
Wow.
Played him hard in football. And then, of course, when I was here at U of I, he kind of invited me to some parties and, got to know the basketball team a little bit because he knew me from before. So, that was before he became a big star. But definitely D. Brown would have to be in there. I love him.
What a great starting five. What a great picks. And D. Brown closing it out. I'm going to go kind of off the board. The first pick for me has to be Myers Leonard, Leonard is someone I feel gets easily forgotten in Fighting Illini history. If you look at Myers-Leonard's journey to Champaign in the NBA, you can say it shouldn't have happened. He grows up in Robinson, Illinois, Crawford County. Main employers are a Marathon plant and a Hershey chocolate factory. His father passes away when he's six. He hits a 6-inch growth spurt his freshman year. He actually thought he was going to play baseball instead of basketball at Robinson High School. You could say the deck was stacked against him. Still, he leads Robinson to a state championship his senior year. He becomes a top prospect in the Big Ten for the NBA draft. He gets drafted with the 11th pick and is able to support his family, his mother. Underclassmen just don't go from the University of Illinois to the draft lottery, it seems.
True.
I mean, true. Before Leonard in 2012, you mentioned Nick Anderson. He was the last in 89. A funny story, we all have those players we emulate in our backyard. I'm sure maybe for you, someone who grew up, you know, in Northern Illinois, probably Michael Jordan or Scottie Pippen comes to mind. For me, I would actually go with Myers Leonard. My buddies would want to be LeBron James and Tracy McGrady or Kobe Bryant, but seeing what Leonard was doing in high school and then translates to college, to me, he was my hero, and also his brother, another hero who is in the U.S. Marines or was a part of the U.S. Marines. So to me, I got to go with Myers Leonard. I know it's kind of out of right field, but hey, I gotta try to combat the great lineup you have, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's true though. But you know, of course, Leonard's a great pick either way.
In terms of my others, I have to shout out James Augustine. He was a very important piece of that 2004-05 team. He was drafted by my hometown Orlando Magic. It was cool to watch him grab a couple minutes, even though it was for two NBA seasons. Speaking about non-revenue sports, to fill it out, Ali Bastinelli, a mid-blocker on the volleyball team, would be one of my top picks. She led Illinois to the Final Four in 2018. And maybe it's only suited that we're talking about professional wrestling. This would be amateur wrestling. But Isaiah Martinez, a two-time NCAA champion at 157 pounds, a four-time All-American, he has the best winning percentage of University of Illinois wrestling history. And getting his hand raised...
Legend.
Yeah, getting his hand raised happened over 97% of his bouts. So he goes up a weight class to 165 pounds for his junior and senior year. And I mean, he's probably the closest thing University of Illinois wrestling will ever get to a champ. I know Daniel Cormier and Amanda Nunes, MMA, it's a little different than amateur wrestling, but hey, it translates to me, and as you said, an all-time great. So I don't know. I think you may have me beat. We'll have to put it out there on social media, and be sure to vote Illini Sports Night and at UI7ISN. Who has it better, me or Nelio? We'll have to see.
Well, I had more mainstream picks, but no, your picks were excellent, and then I wish I'd have thrown a wrestler on there too. I didn't even think about it. I'm dishonored without a wrestler.
Well, speaking about wrestling, let's talk about professional wrestling. If I were to ask you, someone who competes and manages Coastal Championship Wrestling, how would you describe professional wrestling to someone who has no prior knowledge?
Yeah, so you know, I love that question because, you know, pro wrestling is such a strange thing. You know, if you think about it, you know, like you're watching an entertaining performance, and it's almost like an exhibition. It's part like a sporting event, and it's part theater, and it's all fun. You know, it's like watching almost like a variety show. But we're in there, we're wrestling each other. There's a winner, there's a loser many of the times. But what it really is you know, in the early 1900s, you know, people would watch people fight and wrestle, and these matches would go an hour long, two hours long sometime.
Wow.
And then these guys would be injured for weeks. So there came to a decision of, look, let's fix the matches. let's decide the winner and the loser, and we can wrestle every night, and it can be wrapped up in a nice 20-minute package, and we can tell a story from beginning to end, and that's professional wrestling. And from there, it's been one of the most beloved sports entertainment mediums of all time. You know, early television needed professional wrestling. So, and now, you know, 9 hours of primetime wrestling every week. So, you know, professional wrestling sometimes gets a bad rap, but, you know, I love it, and it's a sport.
It is, absolutely. And you mentioned how back in the early days, people were getting hurt. You can see a modern example of that with the Brawl for All and how that was a legitimate shoot. And people were getting hurt, and the talent were getting hurt, and then they would end up on the shelf or their career derailed completely. It's storytelling, and WWE superstar Xavier Woods of the New Day, I had to, he compares professional wrestling to modern-day Shakespeare. It's a great comparison, one which resonates with me personally, but for you, what makes professional wrestling so special?
Man, it all started in 1991 when Hulk Hogan lost to The Undertaker at Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And I was pretty young. I was like 3 or 4, something like that. And I was heartbroken. I couldn't believe it. You know, Hulk Hogan had lost. And then they did the rematch at Tuesday in Texas, which led into Royal Rumble 92. And from that point on, I was hooked. You know, from watching not just the matches, but just like the collective storylines. And, you know, to be able to kind of to follow these wrestlers, watch these wrestlers, watch these matches. And I love sports. I love football. I love basketball. You know, I was an amateur wrestler in high school, and I was a football player. And I love sports. But this type of pageantry, you know, doing a promo, that's stuff that I wish we could have done, you know, in Pop Warner football. Mm-hmm. I'd love to talk about, you know, I went to East Leiden, so like the Leiden Bears. I'd love to go and cut a promo against my Pee Wee you know, opponents, but we weren't allowed to. We'd have to shake their hands and stuff. So I saw professional wrestling like, wow, you can, you know, call someone a piece of trash and then you fight them and then maybe you win or maybe you lose. So that was so important to me that it's kind of morphed. Like MMA has morphed into professional wrestling. Conor McGregor is cutting wrestling promos. Mm-hmm. Masvidal is cutting wrestling promos. So that was like the pageantry of sports I'd never seen before. And then from then on, you know, that's when I tell people, like, when did you become a wrestler? It's probably January 1992, because from that point on, I was just like suplexing my best friend. I was 5 years old, suplexing my best friend's, you know, clotheslines. You know, me and my cousin had like we created the 24/7 title. You know, me and him, we no matter where we were, we were going to pin each other. You know, we were going to wrestle each other, you know, and make each other tap out from the age of 5, you know, into the age of probably 15. So that was when professional wrestling, that's when I became a wrestler. You know, obviously, I was trained to become a wrestler years later, mm-hmm. but that's really when I became a wrestler.
That's so cool. I also had one of those early moments when I would have been 3, SummerSlam 2000, the first ever TLC tables, ladders, and chairs match. And I also give a lot of credit to the storytelling that we see these days, whether it's in WWE, AEW, NXT for me, and the storytelling between Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Ciampa losing to Gargano in their cinematic match. It made me heartbroken. I was 22 years old, so maybe I have no excuse to be that heartbroken and that distraught. I think every professional wrestling fan has those early memories, and how this sports entertainment, makes the audience feel a certain way. It's all about drawing emotion, it seems like.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you have an audience, and you want to tell the story to the audience. It's a little bit harder in independent wrestling. And at Coastal Championship Wrestling, you know, we have, you know, 6 or 7 larger shows a year. We have some smaller shows. And we're working on doing more, like, episodic, storyline-driven television, because what's happening now, web tapings, whatever you want to call it, what's happening now is the ability, like, in 2020, the ability to run a storyline, like, similar to, you know, I love that Ciampa and Gargano storyline, you know, that you can play out for an entire year through YouTube videos, through promos, through different matches that we can perform at our training facility, and then put them into our larger shows, you know, in front of 700 people who are online watching our promos, that are watching these things that have taken place over 6 months. So we've had some stories that culminated, like, where the audience is going nuts, you know, where they're completely invested, similar to Gargano and Ciampa, and that's when you get the best wrestling, because, you know, I can go and I can have a great match, or can have a mediocre match, but if the story of the match, or if the fans are more invested in the match, then, you know, it's a completely different field. That's the magic of professional wrestling. And when you're 22 years old and you feel that emotion, then you know that you've got it. And when you're 50 years old, you should still feel that emotion, you know, 60 years old. And then when you're 4, I mean, it's even easier, but you should absolutely feel those type of emotions.
Speaking of Coastal Championship Wrestling, you're one of the top heels. You considered yourself a wrestler back when you were 4 or 5, but when did you start to get that training, and how did your amateur wrestling background from high school translate to professional wrestling?
Man, that is a great, it's a wonderful question. So, you know, I was at a point where, you know, you're working, this is after college, you're working, and you're kind of in this, like, rut. You know, you're going out with your friends. I was single at the time, trying to meet people. You know, I was always in sports, and you kind of go to that thing where, you know, you're not in sports anymore. So what's the use of working out? What's the use of running? What's the use of, you know, just to keep your body healthy? No, you want some sort of athletic, you know, athletic test. So in Chicago, a couple of smaller promotions, PCW, which doesn't even exist anymore. You know, so I went there and I started to like ask around, ask about, you know, being a professional wrestler. I didn't know if that's what I needed to do. And then it was kind of a long process to me of like wanting to be in the business, but maybe not being a wrestler, because I thought maybe I was too old. I also had torn patella tendon from a football injury that, you know, ended my physical career. So, you know, then it was like when I actually got in the ring, you start to bump, you start to move, and it felt great, you know. And I was a natural because I had been backyard wrestling since I was probably 13. I shouldn't talk about that, but, you know, I was hitting people with chairs on you know, in front of a camcorder.
Wow.
Through high school. You know, in fact, we got in trouble for the football team because we would work matches, and also we would work boxing matches, and we wouldn't work them. We would have our own little brawl for all, like on the football team, and we'd mess each other up, and our coaches had to cut that off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was always in the ring. I was always wanting to work. And then it's funny you mentioned amateur wrestling. In our high school in Franklin Park, there was a second wrestling room, and it was not connected to the school. And our coach gave us a key to come to the wrestling room, you know, on Saturdays, on Sundays, after hours, and it was like a little like offshoot building by the field house. And we were there all the time, and our coach thought we were wrestling. He thought we were running drills,
mm-hmm.
Thought we were doing, you know, freestyle Greco-Roman. No, we were bumping on a wrestling gym mat and giving each other hip tosses and all that type of stuff. So in reality, I was always a wrestler, you know, training. But once I did start to train, then, man, it's just a lot of time of, you know, paying your dues, losing, being the low guy, you know, setting up the ring is incredibly important. You know, you go set up the ring, set up the canvases before, and then doing everything, doing the camera, doing the music, doing whatever you want to referee, and then being in these battle royals where there's like 20 guys who are just also students, just learning how to come over the top rope. That's all kind of a long process, and it's funny, like 7 months ago, almost 8 months ago, really, Venetius was born. I was booked in Bogota, Colombia, and I was introduced to a gentleman in the airport, Hugo Savinovich, who was the Spanish announcer for the WWE for 15 years.
Yeah.
He's a wrestling legend, and he saw me, you know, 6'2". At the time, I was probably 350, maybe 340, 345 pounds, and then he created Venetius, and he said, "You know what? You're not gonna lose anymore. You're gonna go and you're gonna destroy people, and then, you know, maybe we'll find someone down the line who can actually compete with you." So that really has only been eight months, I believe, now, where Venetius was born. He named me. You know, I am Brazilian. You know, my family's Brazilian. He named me. He created the Brazilian Destroyer, and now, you know, going to Puerto Rico, Panama, obviously Colombia. You know, Brazil, Chile, and of course in South Florida, and just destroying people. And that's where Venetius was really born.
Whenever I get to talk about professional wrestling, it's a great day. And this conversation with Nelio Cuomo Costa is far from over. In part two on Tuesday, Nelio and I will discuss how he and Coastal Championship Wrestling are dealing with COVID-19. CCW has a training center. How is he and the other wrestlers keeping sharp during this pandemic? Also, Nelio brings quite the silver lining to this entire quarantine situation. You'll want to hear it. Don't miss out on following us on socials. You can keep up with me at PCWESNER, at PC Westerner on Twitter. I talk a lot of professional wrestling. I talk a lot of mixed martial arts. Join the conversation. You want to see Venetius destroy some guys? Yeah, check him out at Venetius Fights. It's VinicIous Fights on Twitter. Who had the best Fighting Illini draft? There will be a poll up soon, so you can tell us. I support my Myers-Leonard pick at number one. ML12 for life. It's Friday. You know what that means. No? You don't? Let me spell it out for you. Lookout weekend, here I come. You enjoy yours, and I'll enjoy mine. We'll see you back here, same place, same time.